So today's topic is anger, and anger is always an interesting thing to talk about because some of you heard today's topic is anger, and you're like, oh, good, I don't struggle with that. And others of you, and maybe the very same people, heard that and said, but the person next to me does, and they kind of give them a little jab with the elbow, and then that person goes, I'm not angry. What are you saying? And you're like, okay, you know, hopefully you're listening. And then, of course, then there's the other people that didn't make it out to church today. Like after the 8:30 service, people are like, oh, I wish my husband was here. I wish my brother was here. I wish my friend. But you can listen online, okay? So that's what I tell them. But today's topic is anger from the book of Proverbs. But in order to fully understand anger, I think we need to move outside the book of Proverbs. One thing that you have to understand about the topics, especially in Proverbs, is it doesn't treat every topic to the full counsel of God. So the questions that I often get asked, and maybe you have thought about or asked yourself, is this. Is anger a sin? So I would answer it this way. Anger can be a sin and can lead to sin, but anger is not always a sin. So in Ephesians 4:26, it actually tells us, be angry and do not sin. So therefore, we can read that verse and say, be angry and do not sin. So what that means is, okay, there's something about anger that we're allowed to be angry about. So the concept taught here is anger itself is not a sin, but can actually lead to sin. So what type of anger are we talking about here? And I think appropriate anger is something that will give us motivation to solve problems, which brings us to the next question, which is this. When is it appropriate to be angry? And I believe there's something called righteous indignation, and it's this. Anger towards an injustice or a sin that harms other people. You get that? Anger towards an injustice or a sin that harms other people. Maybe something is sparked in your heart, an anger toward people being abused, mistreated, orphaned, or some other injustice that you see in the world. So in your feelings of anger toward the issue or problem, rather than thinking of ways to take revenge against those people, you think, how can I actually help solve the problem? How can I actually help solve the problem? So your anger is, in a sense, a righteous anger. You're looking at the problems in the world, and you're saying to yourself, how can I be an agent of change? I'm angry about this. I don't like to see this happen. I don't like to see people mistreated. I don't like to see people sinned against. Whatever that injustice is, you look at it and say, you know what? That makes me angry. But in those feelings of anger, if they're produced well in your life, you can actually be an agent of change for those problems. I'll just tell you, for me personally, I feel a strong call from God to tell other people about the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news found in his beautiful gospel message, which is that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. And the Bible says this, all who believe will have eternal life. Do you know what makes me angry? When people pervert that gospel or teach a false gospel. Things like, be a good person and you will get to heaven. Things like, all religions lead the same place. People that pervert the beautiful gospel message. So now, as a pastor, I have a choice because it makes me angry to hear those things, but my call is to tell other people about the beautiful gospel message. So now I have a choice. Do I spend my time teaching the gospel purely, or do I spend my time pointing out what's wrong with everything in the world? Most of you know who come here each Sunday realize that I chose the first, to preach the gospel message and teach the Bible in a way that is helpful for the followers of Jesus to go out and impact the dark world. I don't think any of you want to come here each Sunday and hear what's wrong with the world, okay? You do that all week, okay? You observe the world and you see what's wrong with the world. I think that you want to come here and hear what is right about Jesus and how followers of Jesus can be a light to the dark world. So the anger that I have against false teaching and false gospel preaching is this. I say, you know what? How can we be different? How can we change the face of this community? And you know what? I'll tell you this. This church has been doing this for 40 years. This church has been doing this for 40 years. And I do believe that it actually is a light to this dark world. So we can use a righteous anger to actually make some changes. And I believe that Jesus actually had this righteous anger. So I want you to turn to Mark chapter 3. And most of you are thinking, oh yeah, when Jesus was angry, he turned over the tables in the temple. That's not the passage I'm going to. Because Jesus was angry actually more than once. And Jesus was righteous and he never sinned. So we can see that anger is not always a sin. So in Mark chapter 3, here's what happened. Verse 1 says this. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. So here Jesus is walking into the synagogue. He sees a man with a withered hand. They see him, the religious leaders that are trying to accuse Jesus, and they're like, oh, let's see what he does. He's not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. He's not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Let's see what Jesus does in this situation. No care or concern for the handicapped man. Care or concern for their own religious propaganda, basically, is what's happening. So then it says this in verse 3. And he said to the man, Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, he looked at them, and he says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill it? Guess what their answer was? They were silent. What am I going to say to this? Jesus is actually saying, is it better to save life? Is it better to do good? What do you guys think, you religious leaders? What do you think? So then here's what Jesus does. They were silent, and he looked around at them with what? Anger. Anger. And he was grieved at their hardness of heart. You are the religious leaders. You're supposed to have compassion on people. What is wrong with you? He's so angry about this. He's so grieved that their hearts are hard, that the people that were supposed to be leading others to God have no regard for this poor man with the withered hand. So he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Their hearts were not softened. Jesus was angry because their hearts were hard. Jesus was looking at them and saying, you have no regard for this poor man, but I do. And I'm angry at the fact that you have no regard for this poor man. I'm angry at the fact that you are leading people away. In one passage, Jesus actually says, you go far and wide to convert people, and you make them twice the sons of hell. That's what Jesus says to the religious leaders. He says, you guys are so messed up. You are teaching the wrong thing. So you know what? In some cases, a righteous anger like that could be useful. Do you think the man with the withered hand would say, yeah, I'm glad Jesus got upset with these guys, because guess what? Now I'm not handicapped any longer. So in some cases, our anger is appropriate and can be useful, but I would suggest that those cases occur far less than the anger leading to sin, which I would say is inappropriate anger. So I want to see what the Proverbs have to say to us today. So today we're going to learn three things. We're going to learn that anger can escalate a situation. We're going to learn that anger is a self-control issue, and that anger has consequences. Those three things are what we're going to learn. The first is this. Anger can escalate a situation. We're back in Proverbs. Back in Proverbs. Anger can escalate a situation. We've all had situations and decisions and problems and issues that arise in our life. How we handle those things could be either relatively easy, or depending on the people that we're dealing with, can be very difficult. Something many of us have observed in life is when we're dealing with a person that has anger issues, a situation can escalate. Have you ever had this happen? A situation escalates because the person that you're dealing with has anger issues. In some cases, a bad situation just actually gets worse. Have you ever noticed that? A bad situation gets worse. So Proverbs 15:1 says this to us. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The way we use our words can either cause anger or turn away anger. Do you realize that? Have you ever heard this saying? It is not what you say, but it's how you say it. Have you ever heard that before? Well, there's a lot of truth in that saying. It is not what you say, but it's how you say it. Sometimes you could say something in such a way that it won't spark anger in people, but it can be truth and hard truth that people need to hear. You can say those things, but sometimes you could say something that isn't even very offensive, but then you say it in such an angry way that it's like, whoa, no one wants to be around you. People are like, what? Are you mad? And you're like, no, not mad. You're like, okay, seems weird. Okay, seems weird. Okay, many of us, I believe, need lessons in communication in how we speak to other people. Because some of our words actually cause anger or cause people to stay angry in situations. So then we have to ask ourselves this question: how can I effectively communicate with other people? I want you to be successful in this. I want to be successful in this. So how do we communicate with other people? Because we're dealing with many other people, people at work, people at school, people in our families, people in our neighborhoods, friends. We're dealing with all these different people. And everybody's kind of at a different spiritual level. And some people have anger issues and some people don't. And maybe you're one of the types of people that has anger issues. So here are some effective ways that you and I can communicate with other people. When you're communicating with other people, it's good to use I messages. Rather than accusing someone, you say something like, I feel this way when this situation happened. I feel this way when you said this about me or to me. It's showing the people that, hey, I'm a human, I have feelings, and what you said actually hurt me. Not in an accusatory way, but you're saying, I feel this way. Let me ask you a question. Can you argue with somebody's feelings? You can. Is it going to work? No, because that's the way they feel. So if someone says to you, I feel this way when you do this, your defenses shouldn't go up. You should say, they're feeling upset. They're feeling angry. They're feeling hurt. What have I done to do that? The second way we could do is, the second form of effective communication that we can institute is this. Seek to understand their side of the situation. Seek to understand their side of the situation. In other words, put yourself in their shoes, in their position. Most people don't do that. They just think how I respond to this, how this makes me feel. Seek to understand the other side of the situation. Put yourself in their shoes. It takes a lot of thought and maturity to actually do this, but you're going to actually say, hey, listen, I want to effectively go through this problem. So I want to understand how they're looking at this issue. The third is this, be willing to apologize. Willing to apologize. If you've wronged somebody, don't be so prideful that you're not willing to apologize. You know, you need to say that you're sorry. Actually, I think it's a good idea that you think of all the things that you need to say sorry for, because then the person will realize, you know what, they're thinking through this. They want peace in the situation. Another thing that we can do is be willing to forgive. It seems like in the last, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I think in the last three or four messages that I preach, forgiveness as a topic has come up. So I'm venturing to say somebody in our church needs to learn this, okay? So please learn it, because I'm getting sick and tired of talking about forgiveness every single week. Be willing to forgive other people. Be willing to forgive them when they've wronged you. Seek positive resolutions. Seek positive resolutions. Looking at the situation and saying, you know what? How can we resolve this in a positive way? Something that's helpful for both of us. And then finally, and this probably should have been the first, is this. Stay calm. Because what does that scripture say in 15:1? A soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. So staying calm in the situation that you're in. Another phrase that you may have heard when it comes to anger is this. I love this one. That person has a short fuse. Have you ever heard that before? That person has a short fuse. I remember dealing with a person like that, and someone else who is also in the situation used that phrase to defend the angry person. Like, you got to understand this about him. He has a short fuse. And I was like, you know what? I don't care. His fuse needs to be longer, because this is ridiculous. He's escalating the situation because his fuse is so short, and you're using it as an excuse. You'll find that people with short fuses try to use that excuse to divert from the real problem. And they say things like, you made me mad, now I'm mad, now this is the issue that I'm mad. Have you ever dealt with somebody like that? They're terrible to deal with. Are you that person? I pray for your family and friends and coworkers. You can't be like that. Proverbs 15:18 says this, a hot-tempered person stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. A person who is slow to anger quiets contention. A hot-tempered person escalates the situation. They stir up strife. They're short fuse in their defense. Oh, you got to understand me. I have a short fuse. No, I'm not taking it. We don't give excuses for sin. Oh, that person has a short fuse. Oh, that person likes to steal. Oh, that person likes to lie. Okay? We don't, okay? But in anger, we do, right? We've seen this before. Oh, you got to watch out. Dad's a little angry. You know what I mean? No, no. It's ungodly and unhelpful for the people around them, and it's unhelpful for the situation. Which brings us to the next thing the Proverbs say about our anger is this. Anger is a self-control issue. Anger, bottom line, is a self-control issue. Maybe the angry person is you. Do you realize that your short fuse or outbursts of anger are showing everyone that you lack self-control? If you want to raise your hand, I have no self-control, have outbursts of anger. Because everybody around you is like, yeah, he has no self-control or she has no self-control. And here's what happens. Here's another trap. You might think you're showing everyone that you're tough or really serious about the situation, and that's why you get angry, and that's why you have outbursts. But picture this in your head. The scriptures, first of all, call that foolish behavior. So in other words, it calls you a fool. But picture this. Have you ever seen a two-year-old drop to the floor and have a temper tantrum? Pounding on the floor, kicking and everything? That's you, okay? You can just stand up now, okay? So you don't fall to the floor in your diapers and pound on the thing. You scream and yell and tell people how angry you are. Here's the problem. That continues to escalate the situation. Proverbs 16:32 says this, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. You know what this verse is teaching us? This verse is teaching us that being slow to anger is actually a better accomplishment that we should strive for. I say this because in this passage it's saying better than the mighty, better than the one who uses brute force and all their power and authority to come in and take over a city, a mighty person. The person that is slow to anger is actually better than that. That's not what the world tells us, right? The world tells us, yeah, you got to go in and conquer and take over and get your way. But the scriptures are saying, no. A better way is to control yourself, to not be given to anger, to be slow to anger. And you know what? Here's the deal. God desires us to be people of self-control. After all, it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I will suggest this to you. And you might not agree, but I will suggest this because I believe this is true. When you lack self-control in one area, it spills over to other areas of your life. Have you ever noticed that? When you lack self-control in one area, it spills over to other areas of your life. So God's desire is for you to have self-control. And anger, really, managing your anger is a self-control issue. Dallas Willard, he's a commentator and theologian, he said this, anything done in anger can be done better without it. Anything done in anger can be done better without it. So then the question becomes this, if anger is a self-control issue, how do I work on the self-control issue? Because I don't want to just tell you this, so then you're like, yeah, I have self-control issues. I want to help you to understand that you can have victory in this area of your life. So obviously the first thing that we have to realize about having self-control is this. We need to go to prayer. Prayer is always the first place we go. Praying, Lord, help me. Help me with this. You know, maybe for some of you, your anger starts the moment you get in the car and get on the Garden State Parkway and head north. I know. You get angry. You have to pray, Lord, please help me not to get angry with all these people that are on the road because I am obviously the only good driver on the road and everybody else makes me so angry. You have to pray, Lord, I know there's other good drivers. I know that I have to get to work. And some of you get to work and you're already at like a 9, okay? And 10's the lid. By the end of the day, you're at a 12 because of this anger that's burning inside of you. Well, you have to start to pray, Lord, help me. Each morning when you wake up, Lord, help me with this. Help me to have self-control in this area. Help me to deal with all the things that I have to deal with each day, whether it be commuting, whether it be dealing with people at work, whether it be dealing with your children, you stay home with, whatever it is, you have to pray, Lord, help me to have control here. I know it's not going to be beneficial to have outbursts of anger. I remember a teacher telling me this. He grabbed he grabbed a water bottle. And it was half filled with water and it had a lid on it. And he took the lid off and he said, if I shake this water bottle, what's going to come out? And we were all kind of like, is this a trick question? What's he trying to do here? And water? He's like, yeah. And he's like, why? I'm like, because it's in there? He's like, yeah. That's the same thing with anger. If it's in there, it's going to come out. All it needs is a little shake. So what's that little shake that you're just, it's coming out now, it's coming out. What you have to do is pray that the Lord works on your heart and that you respond to what his working is and actually change, So you have to pray that the Lord brings about that change. But the next two proverbs that I'm going to quote actually help us further in this self-control issue. So we start with prayer, but the next proverb is this. Thinking through the situation, Proverbs 19:11 says this, good sense makes one slow to anger. Good sense makes one slow to anger. So I would say this, thinking through the situation makes us slow to anger. Thinking through the situation, many times we fall into the trap of responding to situations in anger, but a person with good sense actually takes the time to think through the situation. If someone makes you angry, stop, take time, think about what's going on. Even if you have to go for a walk, if you have to lock yourself in the bathroom, I don't care what you do, just get yourself in a quiet place where you can actually think through the situation. I would suggest that if you're praying and then thinking about the situation, God's going to be pressing some things upon your heart, and your anger might be extinguished at that point. Anytime we start to think, the next thing actually starts to happen. We start to gain understanding. Proverbs 14:29 says it this way. It says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Many times when we're angry, we stay angry because we can't or don't want to understand what's going on. We don't want to understand the other person. We don't want to understand the situation. We just want to be angry. I am convinced of this because I've witnessed it so many times with so many different people in my life. There are certain people that you will come across, and maybe it is actually you, that want to be angry. They want to continue in their anger, so they don't want to hear it. I don't want it. Don't talk to me. I don't want to hear it. And they just get out of the situation, and they're like, I'm angry about this, and I am angry. That's it. That's how they want to live. But we shouldn't be like that as Christians, should we? We should seek to understand. The proverb says, whoever's slow to anger has great understanding. How do you get that? Prayer, thinking through the situation, and then starting to understand the situation and the people around and what's going on. Now that we have thought through things, sought to understand the situation, and prayed about it, the last thing is this. And here's the forgiveness thing again. Somebody learn this, okay? Overlook offenses. Proverbs 19:11 says this, and it is to his glory to overlook an offense. And it is to his glory to overlook an offense. So whether you're able to look at the situation and say, okay, now I see why they did that, or I understand the situation. Or you come back from the situation and say, that's a head shaker. That person's crazy. I don't get it. You have to get to this point. I have to be willing to forgive them. I have to be willing to overlook this offense. Because here's what happens, and this has happened to me, and it has happened to you, and it will continue to if we don't stop it. We'll be driving in our car and be like, that person made me so mad. Oh, you know, and we're not forgiving them. We're laying in our bed and they're like, that person made me so mad. Oh. And that person's at home. They're like eating lunch or like hanging out, having a good time. And you're thinking you're hurting them, but guess who you're hurting? You're hurting yourself because you won't let go. That's anger. You won't let go. So now what you have to say is like, I have to overlook this. I have to overlook this. Like, they may have meant to hurt me, but I'm still going to overlook it. They may not have, and I'm going to overlook it as well. Why do we have to get to this point? Why? Why do we have to get to this point? Well, I think it's because if anger continues to grow, it grows into uncontrolled anger, which has severe consequences. Which has severe consequences. So uncontrolled anger has consequences. Listen to what Proverbs 19:19 says. It says, a man of great wrath will pay the penalty. For if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. A man of great wrath will pay the penalty. You know what that's saying? If you are an angry person, you are going to pay the penalty. Guess what else that verse is saying? Everyone around you is paying the penalty as well. Maybe some of you were brought up in an environment like this. You're like, uh-huh, I can give an amen to that, because we always paid the penalty when dad was angry, when mom was angry, when my uncle or aunt or whoever, my grandparents, we always paid the penalty. Notice what this verse says. The verse says this at the end. It says, for if you deliver him, you will have to do it again and again and again and again. There's serious consequences to outbursts of anger, isn't there? There's serious consequences to uncontrolled anger. Interestingly enough, Confucius, of all people, said this, when angry, think of the consequences. Now, I'm going to tell you the consequences, but do you think this is difficult? When angry, think of the consequences. Most of us can't think of anything but what we're angry about. So this is difficult. We're stepping back from the situation and saying, okay, now I know this. I know I'm not supposed to be like this, but here's what's going to happen. There's going to be consequences to my anger. Many of you have had outbursts of anger and said things in anger, and you really didn't mean those things. And then when you go to apologize, you're like, sorry, I'm sorry, I didn't mean those things. But really, the person that you're apologizing to, they're hearing what you're saying, but they're like, those things hurt. Like, I'm not sure if you didn't mean those things. I'm really skeptical now. I've lost a lot of trust in you because of those things. And, you know, it's not wrong for them to feel like that because they're hurt, right? So what we have to realize is this. We have to cap that anger. We have to practice self-control. And a way that we practice self-control is be motivated by knowing that the outcome is not going to be good. That there are going to be consequences for my uncontrolled anger. So what are these consequences? What do the Proverbs say? Well, the first thing the Proverbs say is loss of friends. Loss of friends. Let's look at Proverbs 22:24. Proverbs 22:24 says it this way. Make no friendship with an angry man, with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. You know what the counsel of Proverbs is in this? Stay away. Do you want that to be the counsel that other people have to heed to when it comes to dealing with you? Hey, you know what? God, what should I do? Stay away, okay? Stay away? Loss of friends. You know, as a pastor, I've done many funerals. I've attended many funerals. It is so unbelievably sad when I go to a funeral and there's like 15, 20 people in the room. Nobody liked the guy or nobody liked the woman. Why? Because they were angry. They were mean. They were nasty. And, you know, like, what do you do as a pastor? Do you get up and say, I could see by the light attendance in the room that this person was not really a nice person? Okay? Sometimes I want to say that, but it's kind of disrespectful. But the truth is don't live like that. And then that won't happen. And you're saying, well, I don't care who shows up to my funeral. Hey, guess what? You should care who's in your life now. You should care who's in your life now. You are going to lose the people that love you and that are around you if you continue on that course. The counsel from the scriptures is actually saying, if you're looking for friends, don't go to that person. Don't go to that person. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. This is wise counsel from the Proverbs and a consequence that we will bear if we continue on in our outbursts of anger and continue on in our attitudes of anger. The second thing is this. It overwhelms people. It overwhelms people. Your anger can overwhelm people. Proverbs 27:4 says this. Proverbs 27:4. It says, wrath is cruel and anger is overwhelming. Wrath is cruel and anger is overwhelming. Do you want the people around you to be overwhelmed? Do you want the people that live with you and around you and work with you and go to school with you, do you want them to be overwhelmed? Do you want them to live in fear? Do you know, I know this is a tool that some people use, that angry people use. I want everybody to live in fear. I don't want anybody to say anything to me. I want people to think I'm tough. I want people to think that I have it together. I want no one to ask me any questions about whatever situation is. I want to overwhelm people. I know there's some people out there that are, I want to say, demented enough to really, truly believe this. It's wrong. It's from the pit of hell, and it's sinful. It's sinful. So here's what you have to think. Here's what you have to think. Am I really overwhelming the people around me? You know, maybe in some situations in life, you're overwhelming the people around you. You don't even realize it. But you know, like, okay, some of the things that were said today, like, kind of describe me. You have to go to your family. You have to go to the people around you and say, like, is that me? And if you're doing that, you're going to open up something that is going to help you so much, because they're going to actually be truthful with you. They're going to actually be truthful with you to help you to get better. You don't want that. And you know what? As a pastor, I've seen this so many times. Families just torn apart because the kids are afraid of the parents. The kids are afraid of the dad. The kids are afraid of the mom. The wife's afraid of the husband. The husband's afraid of the wife. It's sad. It's not the way marriages and families should be. But the scriptures say that wrath is cruel and anger overwhelms people. You know, you want your children, especially if you're a parent, you want your children to grow up in an environment where they can thrive and feel safe and feel loved and feel helped and feel that no matter what happens, that they have you in their life. That's your job. So that anger, it overwhelms people, and that's a huge consequence, and you don't want to be a part of that. But then finally, and this one's really obvious, Proverbs 29:22 says this: uncontrolled anger will cause problems. You're actually the cause of the problem now. Let's look. It says, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. You know, some people think that that being angry in a situation and yelling and flying off the handle and all those things are going to help heal the situation. But what it actually does is it stirs up more conflict. It actually increases sin in the situation. The bottom line is uncontrolled anger will really hurt the people around you. That's the consequence. That's the consequence. Uncontrolled anger will actually cause problems and hurt the people around you. Will Rogers said it this way: people who fly into rage always make a bad landing. People who fly into rage always make a bad landing. And you know, here's the bad landing. It escalates the situation. It shows your lack of self-control.